We're here on the K&M Podcast. Ken Brown from WGI Radio, Michael Hare, DetroitLions.com, as we talk Lions football, week two in the books. Michael Hare, hello.
Hello, Ken Brown. It's a little different Monday, isn't
Victory
it?
Monday. Victory yep. Monday for reporters and then for media also, as well as the players, because it always is a better day when there's a victory. Isn't that right, Mike?
Yeah, especially early in the season, Kenny. You know, and I don't want to put everything or too much onto winning one game, but it really stops a lot. It takes a lot of weight off the team and the players and the coaches and the franchise to get a win early, because you don't want to get into that, you know, 0-3, 0-4, whatever. And are they going to go? You know, are they tank for draft picks and all that other stuff? All that's out of the way now. Let's play football.
You know, I'm glad you said that, because before this game, this was a must-win, a lot of people said, a must-win, which it wasn't. But what you say also is true. You want to get off that zero as fast as possible, because even if you're 1-5, 0-2 sounds worse. As stupid as that it sounds, think about it. Not having
absolutely.
A victory always sounds worse than even teams with a victory. And you want to get off that. I'm going to tell you right now, I guarantee – and let me repeat it, as the honest Hank from a Colonial Furniture Market used to say in Detroit, I guarantee that if the Lions would have beat Baltimore last year, they would have won way more than, that would have been four wins. They would have won way more than four wins. That Baltimore game where they went 0-3, I believe, instead of 1-2, it changed the whole season.
No, I wouldn't disagree with it. I don't want to, like I said, I don't want to put too much on one win, but I can see that. You know, let's go back, like, 21 years or whatever it was when the Lions start out 0-12. Carolina won its opening game and lost the next 15, and nobody did, you know, it's like it didn't exist.
Right.
But all the focus was on the Lions being 0-7, 0-8, 0-10, 0-12 before they finally won a game, while the other team was 1-13 or whatever
they
it was.
They won 15 in a row, lost 15
but they
in
won
a
game.
Row. Right, but
yeah.
They won the first
yeah.
one. Was that the Johnny Morton year when they won the last two games?
Oh yeah, he went on the
yeah, and Tonight Show.
Tonight Show. Right. Yeah,
they
yeah.
beat Dallas and they beat I forgot the team they lost. They
I think
beat
it was Minnesota.
Yeah, but they beat Dallas the last game of the year. But
the last game
yeah,
of the season.
Quincy
right.
Carter was a quarter. I remember that like it was yesterday.
That was 2001, and they would have played Dallas in the second game of the season and beaten them then.
Right.
Except
that was 9/11.
Changed because of 9/11.
Exactly.
Right?
That's right. That was the week that they had to make up. Don't bring me back to that. Let's keep it on good thoughts.
Sure, absolutely.
A couple things. Yesterday's victory over Washington, and I know, and I get this. I get the vitriol of fans or the skepticism of fans, whatever you want to call it. Washington is not a bad team.
No, they're
not a bad team. They're not a great team, but they're not a bad team. It's not like you played another team that was at, you know, 0-15 or whatever team. To me, they're in the same league as the Lions right now at this point. They just – you played better yesterday.
Right. No, they're one of those teams that's going to be, you know, somewhere between 7-10 and 9-8, somewhere in there. They're playing in a division that's – one of the weaker ones in the league, probably sort of similar to what people look at the Detroit Lions right now. Although I'm sure with the Packers winning last night, teams might look at the division a little bit differently. That's just sort of the way it goes.
No great team I have seen yet in this league this year. So I'm telling you right now, this is a wide open year to me. I haven't seen, and I know it's only one way, maybe with the exception. And I have to see them play the Monday night, if you're getting this on Monday. Buffalo. That may be the only team I can say is head and tails above anything I've seen the first 2 weeks. I think it's a wide-open league this year.
I think it's a wide-open league. A lot of that because teams in certain divisions like the NFC West are going to knock each other off. But I agree with you about Buffalo. I was going to interrupt and get my Buffalo pitch in there. But I agree with you. That's a really, really good team. But look, I thought they were a good team at the end of the last season. They didn't handle strategy too well in the playoffs, and that's why they were out. They should have been in the Super Bowl. They weren't.
If they were in the Super Bowl last year, they beat the Rams. Because Cincinnati was an average team to me, and they were one play away from winning that Super Bowl.
Cincinnati was 10-7 in the regular season. They're 0-2 today. Right. They're 0-2 right now.
But they got on the roll at the right time. See, that's right. What I was trying to tell you about Lions and anything else. You get on the roll at the right time, you go. Because like you said, Cincinnati should have never beat Kansas City last year. And Buffalo should have beat Kansas City. I mean, it's just that you see these things happening. And I'm right about that, right? Cincinnati lost to Kansas. I mean, beat Kansas City.
Right.
So
but, yeah, look, that's got nothing to do with the Lions and Washington and all that. It's just
we just spitballing football. That's what we do on this podcast. We spitball football. Okay, we can deviate anytime we want because it's our podcast.
I used to throw spitballs in school. I spent an awful lot of time standing in the corner.
That's why it's just still a seat over at Persian High with your name on it right now, the desk.
I was 17 years old and nobody knew I could read it.
Might have been right. But, so back to the basis of what we were talking about. There's no great team now. So there are good teams. And I'll get to it in a little while, but I just want to know, where are the Lions now? And how far do you think they can go this year? And this is without any major moves or major injuries. I'm just saying.
Well, I think this. Well, they've already, look, major no, major moves, major injuries. They've already had three major injuries. They're looking at their offensive line. I don't think we appreciate what they did yesterday with their entire interior of their offensive line out. They played three guys who are I can't say non-starters because Evan Brown at center for Frank Ragnow started was it 12 games or 13 games?
Started
last
a lot
year.
Last year, yeah.
Yeah, it was either 13 or it was a 12.
But he's still not. He wasn't a starter, a projected starter.
No, he wasn't a starter, but you know what? He is. He's a National Football League, starting center now. And the Lions are lucky to have him for this year and maybe one more, I think. I still think they'll have his rights for another year. I mean, what a break to have him. And look, they developed him last year. And a lot of the credit goes to Hank Fraley, the offensive line coach. Look, one of the things he said when he talked to the media, I think it was last Thursday, when he talked to those guys who were going to have to play, I've been in your shoes. That's how he got started in the league, undrafted free agent. I think he spent a year on the practice squad, got a chance to start. And you know what? He was a 10-year starter in the National Football League and a doggone good one. And he went into coaching. The development of those young players has been really remarkable.
Yeah, but it's also the rule of the ends to me. And I'm going to tell you what this is. If you're solid at your tackles, I'm going to repeat this for the back of the room. If you're solid at your tackles, it's easier to replace guys on the inside for a game than it is to find two tackles. Now, say both tackles were out and your inside was secure with starters, you would have had a more difficult time today. Once the quarterback is secure on that seal on both sides, you can do a lot of things. You can scheme a lot of ways. You can plug guys up. You can get guys to move inside, tackles, the guard. It's much easier trying to find a guy on the end because when you're on that end, you're by yourself.
No, I wouldn't disagree with that, Kenny, except for one thing. You're talking about two guys, Skipper and Stenberg, who hadn't played football in the National Football League. That was Stenberg just started two games, his first two starts. Dan Skipper, who everybody loves the guy, he had never started a game in a National Football League. I think he had been active for 10 games in 6 years and had never started a game. But you know what? He wouldn't give up.
No.
There was a guy who was obsessed with playing until he finally got his opportunity. And what a cool thing it was to me. I don't know if you'd agree with this or not, but when Dan Campbell, the head coach, was breaking down the team in the locker room after the game, the guy he singled out was Dan Skipper. I thought that was really
no, really.
Cool.
He sent him up to the podium first, and in the post game, he did the right thing.
I thought that was great.
Well, like I said, I'm happy for him because of that last Hard Knocks, man. I was about to put a welfare check out on him to see how he was. The way when they cut him, he looked like he was ready to just to go jump off the Belleisle Bridge, man. I was so worried about him.
He probably figured it was his last chance, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
you're going to run out of chances eventually. But I'll tell you one other thing: being on the practice squad isn't a bad life.
I was going to say that right now. It's a nice little living on that practice squad these days.
No, you can make a couple hundred grand a year, you know, and if you take care of your business and a guy like Dan Skipper, who's been around, knows how important it is. You know, look, I think this is his fourth year here with the Lions in some capacity or other. So, look, it's not what he wants. He wants what he had on Sunday. That's what he wants for his career because there's a pride in the aspect in all of this. But not having that, it's not a bad life.
Not a bad life. Well, let's get to the game. We talked about the surrounding drama of the game, new offensive
right.
line, playing a team that had just won last week, you not being able to get that early season victory. And we talked about this yesterday, me and you, but tell them the last time the Lions were 500 again, Mike.
It was week eight of the 2019 season. Remember when they went, I think they played, was it the Raiders?
They played the Raiders, and Stafford got hurt. That's right.
The Lions were 3-3-1 going into that game. That was the last time they were at 500.
And what year was that again?
2019.
And what year is it now?
2022.
They have not been – let me repeat this for the back of the row. Back of the row. They have not been at 500 in almost 3 years.
Well, the last nine games of 2019 –
okay, we don't need to go into that.
Come just, on,
no, we don't. I don't want.
Of,
we don't need to go into. We don't even need to go into.
17 of 2021
and the first two.
I
don't want a recap of every loss. Okay, just to say they hadn't been 500 in a long time.
Well, if they hadn't blown that game last week, they would have been above 500.
Well, that's
I can't wait.
That's the key for this week.
Dan Campbell, don't you know he could have been above 500?
Our next podcast, hopefully, we'll be saying they've been above 500. Then we'll go back and find that out. Now, a couple of items. Michael Hare, hater of wide receivers.
Hater of wide receivers.
No, and I got the tape. We got the tape from last year's podcast. Was doubting Amon St. Brown. Wasn't sure. Mike, the numbers he's putting up, they're elite numbers right now. I mean, he's got the record for most eight catch, I think, whatever number catch games in a row. And, I mean, he's doing things. And every week, to me, he just looks a little more confident on the field, if you can be more confident than he was, because he's always been a confident guy. But he's Hines Ward, man. I mean, right now, to me, he's playing better than Golden Tate did at that position. I count that as the same type guy, same position. He's better than Golden Tate.
Well, Golden Tate, look, he had four straight 90-catch seasons. He had 99 catches, made a Pro Bowl. Look,
good player. He's a really good player. I'm saying right now, he's playing better.
I mean, he made a couple of big plays with his legs yesterday, too. You know, that 49-yard run on the end of round.
Sure.
Another one, I think, was 19 yards. And he had two touchdown catches, too. Look, this is a ball player. It really is. With him and the other one, DeAndre Swift, the running back, this is the best 1-2 punch of go-to players. I'm writing about this for tomorrow on DetroitLions.com. Go-to players, Ken Brown. They haven't had a combination like this since Barry Sanders and Herman Moore. I'm not saying they're that good yet. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying anybody's better than Barry, but they haven't had a combination that good since Barry and Herman. If you can think of one, let me know.
Well, the one that could have been that didn't because of injury, Jahvid Best and Calvin could have been.
Right,
that.
But there was. They just didn't do it. Could have been.
That's the only one I can think of during that
Reggie
time.
Reggie Bush, close.
Yeah, he was at the. Reggie was like almost. He was like a candle at the end when you got him.
He had 1,003 yards his first year. And something like 300.
Right. And if you remember the 1,000, he had like 1,000 after the first 13 games. He like barely got the 1,000. Remember, he was real close, and it took him like three games to get it. And he was at the end of the line when they got him.
I agree. He was a playmaker for him, though.
But I agree with this. This is the best young combination.
Right. No, absolutely.
Yeah, since Barry and Herman. I agree with
that. Those were record-setting players and great players.
Right.
I think, in my opinion, Herman Moore is the most underappreciated good player in franchise history. I really believe that.
Well, nobody remembers Mercury when you're next to the sun, and Barry was the sun, so you just got to get as much shine as you can. Nobody remembers what Mercury's doing. You know, they always think of the sun.
There is no depth to your lack. Forget it. I don't even know what
the knowledge that I bring to this podcast is amazing. Okay, number two.
Mercury, that's some kind of car, isn't it?
Yeah, Mercury, yeah. Keep it hot like that.
Jeez.
The only thing with DeAndre Swift, though, he's got to stay healthy, man. Even yesterday, five carries. He's hurt after the first week. And, I mean, because you need him on the field.
But what about that catch he made? Comes back to get it, goes down, lunges, catches the ball, pops up, and beats everybody into the end zone for a touchdown.
Yeah, but you know what's, what was even more impressive of that was? That was a tip pass. So to,
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
it
was a tip pass. So he has to concentrate on catching it and going back to get it because it wasn't a bad golf pass. It was tipped. And he caught a tip pass, fell down, then had the presence to get back up and make that move. That, the whole play was tremendous. The whole play was tremendous.
By the way, we need to say something about Jared Goff before this is over because I have a little thing that I really believe on.
We'll get
to
him. We'll get to him.
We'll get to
him. We'll get to him. Let's talk about some other
Jared
things.
Goff.
Let's talk about other things. Number two, DJ Chark. I expected more out of him so far, even though he hasn't done anything really bad, but he hasn't done anything the way he was in camp. I thought I was really going to expect a big breakout year from him. Maybe he'll come. It's only been two games. And to me, Hockenson's got to pick it up. Again, I'm for the second week in a row. Got to pick it up. These drops, I know they're not running the routes. Maybe, Mike, you said that he needs to run to get a lot of yards, but damn, catch the ones that do get to you, will you?
Well, I tell you what, he made a big catch over the middle that one we caught the ball.
He made one catch, but Mike, he's got more talent than one make one catch a week.
Kenny, you can only catch what they throw to you.
Okay, he dropped two. He dropped two yesterday.
I don't agree with those being drops. I really don't.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me look in the dictionary. Ball hit hand. Ball drops from hand. Ball hits ground. It looks like drop here on my dictionary, Mike.
I don't agree with it, but go ahead. I'll pass on this.
All right.
I'm a Hockenson fan.
Now, let's turn to the defense. The children shall lead them. I'm going to tell you right now, after watching the game again last night, Malcolm Rodriguez and Hamilton – I'm sorry, and Hutchinson.
Hamilton.
I know Hamilton. That's another story I'm about to tell you in a minute about Hamilton. But anyway, Hutchinson –
Alexander Hamilton.
No,
please
but
report,
Hutchinson and Rodriguez, the Babes will lead that defense. They're the best two players on that defense after 2 weeks.
Well, your Jeff Okuda is really playing good.
He's
ball,
third.
Okay?
He's third.
Yeah,
he's third.
Darn good ball.
He's third. But the two.
And by the way, folks out there, when they took him with the third pick overall, go look at who was drafted after him that year. Okay?
Yeah, some guy that threw six touchdowns yesterday. Oh, we don't talk about it. Oh, we don't talk about that. Oh, we don't talk about that.
Excluding quarterbacks because they weren't looking for a quarterback. That's what I'm saying. Come on, you know that.
Well, they should have been looking for a quarterback. That's a whole nother story. Why do you get me into these dragged out things? We just move away from the topic. Kudos was third best, but I'm going to tell you, and look at Brian Baldinger has a Twitter thing out. Look at him. He went over a lot of plays between Hutchinson and Rodriguez yesterday and was just fawning over these two. And I'm telling you right now, if Hutchinson wouldn't have hurt, he got a thigh bruise or whatever he got. If he wouldn't have hurt his hurt his thigh for the second half, he'd have five sacks. Because you could tell he wasn't much, but he was close on about two or three more after that he would have closed out if he was healthy. So even with
Kenny,
the three – no, Mike, he was limping around.
Kenny, but I understand that, but in the pass rush, there's a lot of coulda. There really is.
No, I'm just putting the point out that as dominant a day as he had with three sacks, he would have had five if he wasn't hurt. And plus, if you notice, once he got hurt, the pressure kind of alleviated. Even when he wasn't getting in, he was putting pressure, and Charles Harris was getting in, and the other guys were making plays. He's just like an energizer bunny out there. You just want him for his energy out there, and everybody feeds off of it.
Well, and both of those players, you know, Rodriguez and Hutchinson, you saw the value of what it is of playing a National Football League regular season game. There's no way the two guys out of college – in their opening game are ready for the speed of the National Football League. It's impossible. It's impossible to create that, to simulate it. You can do all the drills you want to do. You can all the preseason drills, all the combined practices, but you're not ready for the National Football League and grown men until you've played against them. And both of those players, I thought they did, Rodriguez in particular in the opener, I thought he held his own. I don't think that Hutchinson did, but they are now ready for the full speed of it's the real thing. It's the real deal. Now they know how to cope with it.
Well,
doesn't mean it's the finished product.
No, it's not the finished product. But there's one thing you can't teach, and this is the same with Chris Spielman that always said. linebacker instincts can't be taught. Jared Davis has more talent than Rodriguez, than Malcolm Rodriguez. But he doesn't have a hundredth of the instincts this kid has. You just knowing when to fill a hole, knowing who to hit, knowing where to go, knowing where. Rodriguez, I'm telling you, I was watching these plays yesterday. He would get in that hole. Remember we used to talk about we never saw linebackers fill holes last year, Mike, or the year before?
Yeah. Oh,
he
yeah.
fills the he goes to the right hole. If you he may not make the tackle, he may not go, but he's not letting anybody through that gap. And that's what they've been missing. And to me, he makes Anzalone a better player. Anzalone was flying around. I haven't seen Anzalone play like that last year.
Well, here's another part of that, and I'm just to support what I was talking about before about National Football League speed. What happened on that walk-in touchdown last week by Jalen Hurts? You know, Rodriguez bid on the play-action fake. You know, he whammed somebody, just the wrong. He whammed the wrong guy.
Right.
And, but you know, he wasn't the only one though. That was a walk-in. That was a walk-in touchdown. You didn't see that. Nobody walked in to get anything against the Lions yesterday, except at the start of the second half when they started to connect with some you know, really big plays from the quarterback. Carson Wentz and his receivers, they got back and they got into the game. Finally, it took them, what, 35, 40 minutes
sure.
to get into the game.
And, you know, like I said, another injury with Owori. I've got to get my names right. Owori out. I mean, yep. Mike, they could have been easy pickings yesterday, but it wasn't. And Harris comes in and gets an interception on top of that and dropped another one, I think. It was him that dropped one. No, Mike Hughes dropped one. He dropped one right in his hands. But they, you know, they just next man up, which is great right now. Now, when it gets down to crunch time and you play these great teams, you're going to need your guys. But for right now, you're getting your learning experience in. You're getting a lot of playing time, and these guys, these young guys are picking it up. Now, I don't want to talk about the offense because the offense is scoring 35 a game. They haven't scored three games of 35 since 1952 or three or whatever. And they won the title that year. We know all that. Offense right now, I'm going to let that go. We know it's good right now. We'll talk about Ben Johnson before we get out of here, but the offense is good. Now, the defense is equally as bad by the numbers, even though I thought they played good yesterday.
Well, they made some key plays. They got some key stops.
But what are they missing on defense to, like, really go to shut down?
So that's a good one. I think they need another pass rusher. Obviously, everybody does, though. Are they getting the dominant player in the middle of the defense? Are they getting, you know, the tackle who just absolutely can't move? You know, who can be disruptive on the interior? I don't know really if they have that. You know, they've been pretty good stopping the run, except for quarterback runs. That's even the only two times that Carson Wentz ran yesterday. He was able to gain, you know, pretty good yards. But I think it's going to have to develop as we go along. Like, look, when you don't have your starting, your best cornerback or a warrior, it changes things. I think that was obvious in the second half of the game yesterday when Wentz finally started to connect with his guys and, you know, get some time to step up and throw the ball. It really changes things.
Yeah, I think they need – in this order. Now, it could be on the team or coming off the team or draft next year or somebody develop. They need a playmaking safety. And they need the tackle next to McNeil. I think they need and both of those players are there. You know, another name I'm about to get the screw up again.
Go ahead.
What's the name of the tackle? Man, I'm tell you right now, these Nigerian names.
I'll tell you who played.
Who's
well
on injury reserve that from Washington last year, the second year guy?
Oh, Aaron Levi
Onwuzurike.
Onwuzurike, yeah.
He is the tackle you're missing if he plays the way you projected him.
Well, he's at least 2 weeks away from eligible to play.
But I'm saying you need a spot there, if it's a veteran or not. And on the safety end, if Tracy Walker is going to be your strong running guy, he's not going to be a playmaker like, you know, like they used to have, then you got to go get one. And maybe that's a thing in the draft or somebody you can get. But I think they need a ball hawk out there at that other safety spot. The other guy right now, he's okay. Elliott, he's okay, but I just want to see.
Deshaun Elliott, yeah, they got him from the –
Yeah, but nothing special. I want to see something special. Then your defense becomes – like I said, you can also always use another pass rusher, but you got Owori coming back. hopefully sometime this year.
Hopefully, it hurt his back in practice last week. I think he did it stretching. It was just the weirdest thing.
No, and I'm sorry, not a Warriors. I get these names. Like I'm telling you right now, I'm going to have a Nigerian nightmare with all these names. Aquara, the other Aquara, should be back sometime this year, hopefully. That's your pass rusher.
Oh, you're talking about Julian and Romeo.
Romeo Aquara.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago. He had double digit sacks. Yeah, he's a good player.
Good player, and he'd be a good in rotation with those guys.
I don't even hear his name mentioned coming back from that Achilles.
I saw a video of him when his mother brought some Nigerian or Jamaican food, Nigerian food in, and he was serving it up. He looked happy in there. I guess you could be happy too, but it looked like he, you know, at least he wasn't on crutches or on a wheelchair. So maybe it's not that long before he comes back. If he comes back this year and gets in that rotation, that'll help him out. Now, were you surprised yesterday that Austin Bryant was an active? I thought Austin Bryant was one of the better defensive ends in the preseason, but they played Julian Aquaria yesterday and put Austin Bryant as an active.
Well, I mean, I do things for a reason. They're not just guessing. I can't say that I predicted it or anything, but when you get down to your, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh, whatever defensive lineman, you know, it's matchups. It's very narrow margins on what separates players. And obviously they see something in Julian Aquara that they don't see in Austin Bryant. Now, I don't know if there's some sort of minor injury involved in that too. I have no idea, but I'm sure we'll find out later today.
Yeah, make sure somebody asks about that, man, because
Well, look, we're talking about, we're getting down to the bottom of the rotation.
No, but he was in the rotation, Mike. You know, I thought he was like the swing defensive end during the end of camp, and I thought he was really contributing. Matter of fact, I thought he was the best defensive end in preseason. You know, he actually played. Hutchinson didn't play. Yeah. You know, so I just like to see him in there. I think he's an ascending player. He's young. I know you wanted to get Julian Aquara back in there, and he made a sack, so I'm not going to sit here and argue. He made a play at the end. I don't know if they called it a sack, but I don't
know. No, we didn't.
Yeah, but he made that play at the end, so I don't want to call him not helping, but let's get some of these young guys in. You know, the Brockers of the world, man. I'm already had enough. You can do what you want with those guys. Those are, you know, I want to see some.
They are doing what they want. They're starting them.
Yeah, but, you know, last week he didn't have a stat. This week he did actually get a tackle, so I'm happy with that. But I haven't heard his name called out there. You know, I haven't heard a big plays made in two games. I mean, it's good to be a locker room guy, but you got to put it on the field sometime.
It's the Ken Brown conspiracy. That's why you don't hear his name.
Oh, it's the Ken Brown conspiracy. So, any other thoughts from the game before we move on to some other thing?
Well, no, not really. I don't think there's, you know, I think, look, well, one thing we should mention is how good they are on special teams. In the first quarter alone, Washington started possessions three times inside its 20-yard line. I think twice at the 16 and once at the 3-yard line. So they do a really good job of covering. They do a good job of returning. They had, a 52-yard return there by Khalif Raymond. I think it was on a kickoff. They've been good forever, and they're still good.
Yeah, that was on.
They're well coached.
That was the safety kickoff. So that really was a big play.
Yeah, no, they've got they've got guys who are motivated on special teams. It's just part of the DNA of the Detroit Lions. And like I said, they've been good forever, and they're still good.
Yeah.
Good kicker, good punter,
yeah,
whole thing.
I'll tell you another thing I saw that I liked yesterday. I saw Jameson Williams on that sideline in shorts, and he was involved in the game. And I saw a video somebody put out of him the other day, and he's cut. He's looking fast and cutting. So he maybe after that four games, he might be back before eight games.
I think
he's back closer to four than eight.
I think there's some rules on how you can start practicing, and I think they'll exhaust that first.
Sure.
And let him practice first, and then so you're probably looking at 6, 7, 8 weeks, maybe something like that. But I'll tell you what, when he gets in there, if he's what we've seen in college, then it's a whole new thing, really.
Oh, can you imagine him and Amon St. Brown? Because that's going to open up more Amon St. Brown, because now your safety and your corner got to be worried about Williamson going over the top. And that's just going to clear that hole all inside out for Amon, Brown.
Right.
That's going to be – I'm not saying it's going to be a field day, but trust me, you can buy your tickets for that, because that offense already is putting out 35 a game.
The only question to me on him, and I'm not saying this in an alarmist way, is just how good his hands are, how good is he at, you know, running routes and all that. Look, this is the National Football League. It's not college.
No.
We'll just see how – When you're playing against grown men, it's a different game, and we'll see how he reacts to it now.
Right.
Alabama is sort of like the 33rd team
in
the football league.
But
like, the practices are harder than the game.
But like they said too, Mike, he doesn't need the ball but 4 or 5 times a game. It's not like you got to feed him 10 targets. I mean, this kid is just being on the field changes the defense. You know, so
we'll see.
Remember guy came from Auburn that used to play for Atlanta, whatever. He was the fastest guy, whatever he ran, couldn't catch a brick. Remember Wright was his name. I can't remember what his first name was. First round wide receiver, fast as heck, changing the defense, could catch a brick. Yeah, and was out the league. This kid can catch, man. This kid is good.
No, he's got hands. He's got the whole package from what we've seen.
Now, number two things that happened yesterday, and I'm gonna talk about a few things that happened in the league yesterday. Trey Lance gets hurt.
Yeah, too bad.
Yeah, his development's gone for the year. He got a few games, and he got preseason games and 1.5 games in this year, but that's going to hurt him. But the thing I'm talking about is they got some Brock Purdy as their backup, some guy I never even heard of. You think they want Nate Sudfeld back now?
Well, they're not going to get him.
I know, but I'm just saying.
This is why
I tell you how these backups are important. Everybody wants to play games. They should have kept – him is the third guy to hang around because you never know when these things happen. You don't give up quarterbacks that are, you know, competent. I always say that. And I've always been talking about this backup quarterback. Now, Garoppolo's known for being hurt. He's coming off an injury. He's coming off shoulder surgery.
He's also known for playing well, too.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, he never finishes a season because he's always hurt. He's going to get hurt, and he's going to miss some games this year.
Well, he finished last season.
He was hurt last season, too, though.
Well, he was their quarterback right through the playoffs.
Yeah, I know, but he was hurt during the year, too. He didn't play all 17 games.
We're talking about finishing the season.
I said he's going to miss some games this year.
I'm just processing.
I understand it.
You're speeding.
He's going to miss some games this year. And Brock Purdy, from the Nutty Professor, Miss Purdy's son, is going to have to go in.
Oh, please.
And Miss Purdy's son is going to have to go in. And they'll be wishing they kept Nate Sudfeld.
Well, I'll tell you this, and then everybody else out there listening to us, get out one of those football guides and go through the National Football League and look at who the backup quarterbacks are. I'll bet you there are 15 to 20 of them that you never heard of.
True.
So that's the way it is.
Okay.
There aren't 32 great quarterbacks in the National Football League. Don't anybody out there delude yourself into thinking there are 32 great backups, because there aren't.
Not 32, but if you got one, you better hold on to them. Item number two, did you see the Miami-Baltimore game or hear about it, where they were losing 35-14 in the fourth quarter, and Miami storms back to win?
Shocking, but, you know, they had trouble closing out games last year. These are not the Ravens of old where they can absolutely stone you. You know, they've had issues closing out games, and it got them again. Yes, now look, you don't expect them to lose a 21-point lead to anybody, but that was a home game too. But
yep.
Just listen to some of the people talking on, you know, some of the ex-coaches and so on talking on TV this morning. They weren't shocked that this could happen to the Ravens.
Well,
they're not the Ravens of old.
Well, the secondary play was atrocious. The secondary player on the last drive, and you know what, Mike? Mike O'Hare from previous podcast.
I'm right here.
Guess who wasn't playing in the secondary at the end of that game? Kyle Hamilton, somebody's pick who somebody on this podcast, not named Ken Brown, wanted to be the number two pick possibly. He wasn't even on the field. He's not even starting for Baltimore.
Well, he played 40 snaps, 40 of 80 snaps in the opener.
And then that just shows you what they thought about those 40 snaps then, because he was not even on the field.
And that has to do with what?
I don't know. I just feel like pulling your chain because I can do that. That's why I just feel like pulling your chain.
You know what? Making me miserable is your part-time job, isn't it?
All right.
It's a recreational job.
We got to wrap this up. We've been talking too long.
Thank God.
Well, let's talk about this before we go. It's the Vikings next week, and they'll be coming off a game against the Eagles tonight. And this is Monday if you're listening to the podcast. Winnable game?
Winnable game for both teams. Oh, you mean the Lions and the Vikings?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's winnable. They beat them once last year. They got beat by them by 2 points on a 55-yard field goal on the last play of the game. Yeah, it's winnable.
Yeah.
I mean, they're 6-point underdogs, the first line out. okay, that's 6 points there. If they played it in Detroit, it would be three. It's less than a touchdown. Yeah, it's winnable.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing Okuda on Justin Jefferson.
Well, you know what? Justin Jefferson probably is, too.
Yeah, I'm about to say, Justin Jefferson. It's not a matter of how many yards he's going to get. It's how many yards can you keep him to is the question. Well, so I want to see it. Hey, you're drafted number three. You're playing with the big boys now. And I'm going to tell you right now, Okuda will not back down from him.
No. I think, you know what? I think that people have a different view of him now after two games. They've seen him play. He's a ball player.
Still, I like I said, everybody knows how I felt about taking him, and I didn't have anything against him. I just cornerbacks to me at number three just don't work.
Look at what was drafted.
I agree. Besides the quarterbacks, the only other person that you could say would have been taken later was Tristan Wirfs that went to Tampa to tackle,
right?
And Justin Jefferson.
Going back to the 20th pick.
Like the two best players after that. And you weren't looking for a wide receiver that year. And if you didn't take the quarterback and if you would have took Tristan Wirfs, then that changed your team too. But I'm just saying those were the only guys. Rest of them were just guys. Just guys. All right, Mike, that's it for this week. I love talking after a win. So we only did three of those last year. So hopefully we'll have a bunch of them this year.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, that tie too was a great one.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, we'll talk next week after Minnesota comes in and getting ready for the juggernaut Seattle Seahawks, right?
The Seattle Seahens, yes.
Another beatable home game. I'm telling you right now,
you're
getting your money out of these home games this year because you got three that you could have won, two you should have won.
Well, and just one other thing, Kenny, before we go, I just want to make mention of one thing. I thought the crowd yesterday, the 57,000, was bigger than expected and louder than loud. I tell you, they were into it from the opening kickoff, stayed right to the end. Maybe some people took off with a couple of minutes to go. But really, a really, really cool home field environment there. It really is.
All right. Well, that'll wrap it up. We'll see you next week on the K&M Podcast. Later, Mike.
All right, Ken Brown.
And that's Ken Brown. Listen to Mike O'Hara on WJR. Listen and read him on DetroitLions.com. And Ken Brown, WJR. Talk to you later.